if you're going on vacation, see something you've never seen before in your whole life. Walking mountains and state parks.
Welcome to the Telling It Our Way podcast. I'm Allie.
And I'm Becca.
In this podcast, we bring you stories by disabled people about disabled people. Stories from the daily lives of self-advocates with intellectual and developmental disabilities.
These are real people with complicated lives. They don't want your pity, and they do not exist to inspire you.
This is not inspiration porn.
Hey, Allie.
Hey, Becca. Today's episode's on the lighter side for our listeners. We are going to speak to two storytellers about their experience with travel. Becca, you're a bit of a world traveler, is that right?
Oh, I mean, I do love to travel. And I've been really, really lucky that I've gotten to go to some really cool places through work. But to be honest, my favorite part about going anywhere new is like, I will land at the airport, leave the airport, go to like the nearest convenience store or corner store and check out like, what kind of local candies can I buy? And that is how I know that I'm really getting immersed in a new place.
One of my favorite things about traveling was using the laundromat in different countries because it gave me a chance to practice language skills with total strangers.
Oh, that seems like a little bit more helpful than mine. But, you know, whatever. Different strokes for different folks, right? But travel isn't always easy, especially for people with intellectual and developmental disabilities. You know, we know that even like everyday travel around the city can be tricky for people. And it, you know, it's pretty well documented that transportation is one of these biggest barriers that's faced by people with ID living and accessing their communities. But there's actually not very much research at all about other kinds of travel like vacation or tourism.
Yeah, even with map apps and icons and translation apps, we often still assume that travelers read and write independently. And organizing a trip takes a huge amount of executive functioning, something so many people struggle with, regardless of whether or not they are people with IDD. And that's why I think this episode is so important. It can help us understand that self-advocates want to travel and they want to talk about it. One of the things I know we both love is a good road trip, the weird pit stops with novel snacks and the rural scenery and the open road. And our first storyteller, Matthew, shares with us about his experience going to Gatlinburg, Tennessee. Let's listen.
Back in 2015, I went to Gatlinburg, Tennessee with my family. It was August, the week before I started sophomore year of high school. I got to walk around the mall in downtown Gatlinburg. I also went to Knoxville, Tennessee. I also went swimming in multiple pools. I went to the Knoxville Zoo. It's hilly. The animals there are different than they are here at the Tweedo Zoo. You could see red pandas here in Tweedo or Tennessee. Gatlinburg is all hills. You see a bunch of mountains. They call it the Great Smoky Mountains for a reason. As we were driving to our cottage, my dad almost ran over a bear, but I was on my phone listening to music, so I didn't pay attention to it. I saw a black bear the next day outside of our cottage. It was pretty huge. It was pretty spooky. I had a fudge brownie from one of the stores. It was real good, chocolatey and juicy. We also went to the Air Force Museum in Dayton, Ohio. There are a bunch of airplanes you can see, and you can see space shuttles. I saw a lot of things I have never seen before in my life. It was a lot of adventures in 2015. If you're going on vacation, see something you've never seen before in your whole life. Walking mountains and state parks.
Oh, I love Matthew's story. What I think is so great about this is how he really tells all those details. What he ate.
Who doesn't love a good brownie sundae?
Yeah, and all about the mountains and the tourist attractions. And I love that he admits that he didn't see that bear because he was on his phone.
It's very relatable. And his message is so universal. Take the time to see something you wouldn't normally, whether it's on a longer road trip or even closer to home. He references visiting Dayton, Ohio, which is in his home state.
Yeah. And getting to experience new things is, of course, a huge reason why many of us say that we want to travel. But like I mentioned before, wanting to travel and actually getting to do it are two kind of different things. In a 2025 study from Eusebio and colleagues, where they interviewed people with intellectual disabilities in Portugal about tourism, they found that most of the people they talked to were really highly motivated to travel, really wanted to travel, but they never had, often citing things like financial constraints or reliance on other people for the planning and the transportation, the need to for support for navigating new environments, or just having some fears around not being understood and having some communication difficulties.
Yeah, and the reasons people want to travel connect with what Matthew was saying. As one interviewee says, quote, people traveling have contact with new horizons, completely different things. They understand that there are totally different things from what they are used to in everyday life.
Yeah, and everybody should get to experience that. And speaking of understanding new things, that's exactly what happens in our next story. Our next storyteller travels a little bit farther than Matthew, going on a European adventure. And in the process, she connects with some relatives and her family history. So let's hear from Ellison.
My story is about traveling to Europe for the very first time. The trip was my gift after graduating from Owens back in 2002, the 1 year anniversary of 9/11. It was me, my mom Kathy, my dad Don, my grandmother Loretta, whom I called Nana, who was no longer with us. She died 2.5 years ago at the age of 98. I loved traveling with my inner circle. These are the people who have supported me the most, and I miss Nana every day. We went to the Netherlands to see the Anne Frank House. We went to Paris for a week and did the Eiffel Tower, Notre Dame before it burned down, and the Louvre to see the Mona Lisa. It's a huge museum and one of the most visited museums in the entire world. There were a ton of people and tourists there. We also visited Versailles, where we danced in the Hall of Mirrors on September 11th, 2002. We reconnected with family that neither side knew existed for 110 years. We met my grandpa's first cousins. We had met them via email in 2000, when email was just becoming a thing. We found out that one of our cousins and I have the exact initials, EW, plus we share a birthday of June 8th. We met them in Belgium. It was a wonderful meeting, and I even got to spend the night at Cousin Astrid's apartment. My dad's grandfather was born in Warsaw, Poland, and through DNA discovered he was Jewish. He was in Europe during World War II, where he was captured and eventually killed in Dachau. He was murdered because he was different, not less. Going to these places was extremely powerful and connected me to my European roots. Thanks for listening.
Ellison's story is really powerful, in part because she begins with telling us a bit about some of the European attractions, like the Louvre and the Eiffel Tower. But then she lets us in on her family's other motivation for travel, which is connecting with relatives.
Yeah, it's such an incredible story that she got to connect with these people who she didn't even know existed. And she also got to get a sense of Europe outside of these kind of tourist sites.
And this discovery she found out about how recently her family had been living in Europe and the new knowledge of having lost her family in a concentration camp. I love the connection she makes to her own experiences as a self-advocate of sharing the message of different, not less.
Yeah. And a 2025 study out of New Zealand by Gilovic and colleagues, where they talk to people with intellectual disabilities about their experiences with tourism, confirms a lot of what Ellison is saying, too. That one of their kind of big findings here is that tourism increases travelers with intellectual disabilities, what they call, quote unquote, relational connections, meaning that they feel more connected to people when they travel, both with the people they're traveling with, the people that they meet on those travels, but also with other people back home, in part because they can just now kind of swap travel stories and they feel more connected in their communities. They also said that travel increases people with intellectual disabilities' sense of competency and confidence in themselves, and it provides an opportunity to break out of what many people describe as a kind of constrained or repetitive daily life, where, you know, often that means you're going from home to workplace or day program and then back again. And travel really gets people out of that rut.
All great reasons to get out there and start planning a trip, and just in time for summer. Before we end, I want to thank our contributors Matthew and Ellison, our associate producer Connor Smenner, and our Telling It Our Way advisory board members Jarita Fox, Quinn Thomas, and Gavin Daly.
And special thanks as always to WGTE and our producer Chris Pfeiffer.
To access transcripts for this show and any other show notes, please visit wgte.org/ourway. I'm Allie Day.
And I'm Becca Monteleone. And you've been listening to Telling It Our Way.
WGTE. Voices around us.